Do you think if a person really knew Christ that he could ever turn away? One of you shall betray me. Think of all the distress that this must have revealed in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The event of his betrayal, when one of his own number betrayed him to the enemy. To be doubted by the world would not be so strange. Suppose we recognize that, so far as the world as a whole is concerned, that it does not have time for Jesus Christ, doesn't think about Jesus Christ. We could almost say with reference to that, well, why not? They don't know him. They don't know what he is to them. They have never understood about him. So that they doubt him? Why, of course. Why wouldn't they doubt him? They don't know. Or to be ignored by the ignorant. If there are people who don't know about Christ at all, he's only a name to them, a name used in profanity, a name that the church hymns are about, which they don't sing. They just don't know about Jesus Christ at all. And to be ignored by them, by such people, would not be too strange. One could say, well, why not? They don't know him. They're ignorant of him. No wonder that they treat him in that way. It's a good deal like that with ourselves. When strangers do not recognize me, that can be understood. I may come to a certain spot, I may get off a plane somewhere, walk into the airport, look around, and feel altogether alone because I am alone. Everything is normal and natural. But if in that airport there were some people I knew and that knew me, who gave me no attention, who turned their back on me, who left me just to myself, that would be a real hurt. It's like that here. To be ignored by one's own people, that's really a shock. And all of this is set forth in our lesson for the day. We are in the Gospel of John, looking into the Gospel of John, and today we are in the 13th chapter. And if you will open your Bibles in the 13th chapter of John, I want to turn to the 18th verse and read and study along here with you. This is the account, as John gives it, of the betrayal by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had just been speaking to his disciples in the matter of washing their feet, showing them how they should do and how they should do with each other. And gave them certain promises that if they would do as he had shown them, they would really be blessed. And now in verse 18, he makes this comment, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. This brings in a note that we should not overlook. It's common for us to preach the gospel in a way that we'll say, it's for everybody. And there is a sense in which that's true. We are inclined to emphasize whosoever will may come, and that's wonderful. Whosoever will may come. Anybody can come. The call is out to all men everywhere, and whosoever cometh he will in no wise cast out. But it is not true that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is done in everybody. No. It's like saying the medicine is for anybody and anybody can have it and it will work in everybody, anybody who takes it. Did you notice? Who takes it? A person could be right there in the house where the medicine is and you could be sick and sick and sicker and sicker and the medicine right there in the medicine cabinet. But if you do not take it, it won't do you any good. And so it is with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. That actually, although he has come for all men and given his invitation out wide to all men, he knows not everybody is going to receive, and so he has in mind certain special relationship with those who do receive. This is not to shut anybody out. The people shut themselves out, but the folks who are in, they've got more than the folks who were out. And so here we see, after he had made this comment, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. I understand very well that there's going to be one of you that's going to turn away from me. Then he goes on and indicates this to them, saying, he that eateth his bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And he is telling them this now and telling them he knows he's going to be betrayed and given over to the enemy, in order that when it happens, they will remember that he knew and that he told them and have that much more confidence in him. Then in verse 20, he says something that is very significant to us about how important it is. In verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So in these simple words, there's put out something very wonderful before us. When the Lord Jesus Christ sends anybody anywhere, and that person is received, it's just as though they received the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just as though they received God the Father. This brings it down to this very matter, that if a person is a Sunday school teacher, or you're a preacher, or perhaps you're a personal worker, and you take the gospel to anybody, really and truly, at the very fact that you're taking the gospel to them, means far more than that one person's talking to another person, one human being talking to another human being. The word that you're speaking is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you convey his message over to that person, although you're talking to that person, in actual fact it is as though the Lord Jesus were talking to that person. And if that person receives what you say, it will be as though he received what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And that means that if he receives what the Lord Jesus Christ said, that means that he receives what God would say. It's just that important in our service for him, in our representing him, as we go around among people. And now we come to verse 21. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 21. And here the Lord Jesus confesses that he is inwardly disturbed. This is what he says. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. That phrase, troubled in spirit and testified. And he spoke out what it was that was troubling him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. That was really a disturbing thing. One of you shall betray me. Now, the other accounts of this incident, like you will read in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, they tell a little bit more at this point. They point out that when he said this, one of you shall betray me, that the disciples in turn said to him, Lord, is it I? One after another said this, Lord, is it I? And here we read this. Then in verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They weren't sure whom he meant. And in others, I say, in some of the other Gospels, it indicates each person was willing to think that if anybody there that would fail the Lord, it would be that man himself. They were all humble in their frame of mind. And for our own interest, and actually for our guidance and information, you might take note of this. Nobody suspected Judas. This is something to check in your own mind. Nobody suspected Judas. You will need to remember, when you understand what happened to Judas Iscariot, you will need to remember that he was an honored person. First of all, he had been called to be an apostle. He was one of 12 chosen persons. And then these 12 chosen people had made him the treasurer of the group. He carried the money bag. This would be a position of honor and of trust. And when this matter came up, that someone was going to betray the Lord, no one suspected Judas. Each man would have been ready to suspect himself first. Now in verses 23 to 26, there's a very interesting little sidelight here that we can go through and just notice how it was with these people. He was in the presence of his disciples. In verse 23 we read here, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, those of us who study these things and read these things, we all understand this was the Apostle John, the writer of this gospel that we're reading. But do you know that in this whole gospel, from beginning to end, and throughout the whole gospel, John never calls himself by name. He never one time speaks of John. This is the name he gives himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. This does not necessarily mean that Jesus loved him more than anybody else. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means that so far as John is concerned, the greatest thing he could think of himself, the outstanding reference to himself, the amazing thing was that he was the man whom Jesus loved. You can have that feeling for yourself, and it'd be a wonderful feeling to have. So, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now, I think, as far as I'm concerned, I have a feeling that that would be amongst us, we would say very much, leaning on his shoulder. That sort of thing. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom, with his arm on his shoulder, probably, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. In other words, Simon Peter got John's attention and indicated to John with a sign, and prompted him to ask the Lord whom he meant. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is unto whom I shall give a sop. You and I don't use that word very much. It's a piece of bread. And when I have dipped it, when he had dipped the sop, he dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And that was the signal. That's who it was. And then we read, After the sop, Satan entered into him. Now you will remember way back in the 13th chapter here that we're reading, that in the second verse, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, prompted him to think about betraying him, here Satan himself entered into his heart. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. No one knew what he was talking about. They thought he was sending him out to buy some food to give to the poor. But he that had received the sop went immediately out, and it was night. I want you to stop and look at that word for just a moment. When that man walked out from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was night. He had turned his back on Jesus Christ. He was going out to betray him. It was night. And this is the way it happens with us if we fail the Lord and turn away from him. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us from ever failing thee. Keep our hearts and minds turned to thee, coming to thee always. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.